We have been keeping a secret from you, and now it can be told. The reason why, on this most unusual calendar year, we chose on a day that the 24th of December falls on a Sunday to have a 10 o'clock service, as well as Christmas Eve tonight, it was to flush out all of you as the true church nerds of our communities. We wanted to know just who it was were the advanced ones, the truly grimly dedicated ones, and now we know. It's you. Look around. Find each other. We are the league of advanced church people, and so among us, we can speak of advanced things. Pay attention to this somewhat unusual phrase that you just heard. Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Pay attention because it may have more than a little bit to do with two of the readings that we heard and the ideas that link them together. It is, of course, most familiar to us in the words of Gabriel's greeting to Mary. This is one of the most familiar scenes in all the Bible, and translators of the Bible mess around with this phrase at their peril. Whichever version of the story you grew up with is likely the one that you still cherish as the right version. Hail thou that art highly favored, which is the language that will be heard around the world just about now in the broadcast from King's College, Cambridge, or Hail, O Favored One, the way it comes out in the Revised Standard Version. I've never quite been able to get my ears adjusted to Greetings, Favored One, which is what we heard this morning. But that is a lot better than what you get in the Living Bible, which has it as Congratulations, Favored Lady. And it's far better than what I received and what I know was a well-intended gift from a dear friend who gave me a more recent translation called the Message Remix, which is meant to help me communicate with millennials. And here's how that has Gabriel's greeting. You are beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. Which sounds more than a little bit like a bad pickup line. All around the story, the words and images change from translation to translation, but there is one small phrase that stays fixed, absolutely the same in every translation in English, and it is these words, "The Lord is with you." Everything else changes, but those words are like the North Star. Everything else can change, but those words change everything. Now, you might think that lovely little phrase, "The Lord is with you," it seems like such an obvious greeting to holy people. It seems like something that we would find strewn throughout the Bible as an acknowledgement of the holy presence of God with a holy person. But it turns out that if you search all throughout the Bible, it's a very rare phrase. In all of the New Revised Standard Version, this phrase appears only four times, and we heard two of them this morning. Sometimes things that don't happen much are not worth paying much attention to, but sometimes things that are rare are precious. These words might just be one of those times, because in both cases, those words appear in the midst of people with plans. And in both cases, they announce that those plans are about to change. King David has a plan. After living through the experience of displacing Israel's first king, He has consolidated his leadership, defeated his enemies, secured his borders. He is determined that he should build a dwelling for God, a temple. The way the story is related to us, there is no small amount of ambition in David's plans. Like all good public leaders, he is a master of spin. He wants us to sense that he is troubled, that he gets to live in a house while God has to live in a tent, the tent that the people of Israel have been carrying along with them since the earliest days of their covenant with God. But of course, he wouldn't mind being known as the king who built the first temple for Yahweh. At least that is his plan. But just as soon as Nathan sends him off with those words, "The Lord is with you," those plans change. God has a different idea about how God wants to dwell with us. God is not interested in having a house to live in. God is going to do the building. God will build the house of David. And David is just going to have to like it. God is with him. When Gabriel says those same words to Mary, Mary is a young woman with plans. Specifically, she is a woman with wedding plans. She's engaged. She has things to do. She has a marriage to get ready for. She has a husband-to-be who has plans. But God is with her, and those plans are going to change. The house of David needs to be expanded. It needs to be made big enough to contain the whole world. Mary is finding out that she is going to be God's co-contractor in this new building project. Now, when someone asks you, "What's with you?" the question usually comes from a sense that there is something troubling you, something stirring the waters of your soul. When your close friends or your partner asks you, "What's with you?" you are receiving a gentle hint that your simmering is showing. But when God is with you, that is when you are about to do great things, whether you know it or like it or not. When God is with you, there is a question laid at your feet. Are you with God in it or not? Do you accept the terrifying uncertainty of God's possibility? Of your part, your indispensable part in bringing it into being. Now, it's a little after 10 o'clock. It's not long until they will all be here sitting in your seat. And you will smile and make room for them. But right now, in these last hours of our season of preparation, O people, the angel is at the threshold of this place. What's with you? Amen.